This is Climate to Action, a California State University San Marcos student podcast focused on climate action, indigenous knowledge, and climate justice. My name is JJ, a co-producer here on the podcast. And before we begin, we'd like to acknowledge that CSUSM is located on the traditional territory of the Luseño and Payom Cowichan people. The university and its surrounding areas are still home to the six federally recognized bands of La Jolla, Paula, Palma, Pachanga, Rincon, and Sapoba, Luiseño, Payom, Cowichan people. And this land remains the shared space among the Cumpeño, Cumeay, and Ipai people. So again, welcome to Climate to Action. Today's episode is a class project production focused on climate and food justice. It's hosted by two environmental studies students, Myra Ramos and Darby Sward, who interviewed our very own environmental studies professor, Gabriel Valle. Let's hear what they have to say about climate and food justice.
Hello and welcome. My name is Darby Sward.
And my name is Myra Ramos.
And we are both environmental studies majors at California State University, San Marcos. And today we are sitting down with Dr. Gabriel Valle to talk about climate justice, food justice, and the Sustainable Food Project Garden.
My name is Gabriel Valle. I am an associate professor of environmental studies. And most of my research currently revolves around the intersection of race, place, and power, particularly with food and agriculture, as well as the ways or the different ways people understand and come to terms with their sense of place.
So first, let's talk about this Sustainable Food Project Garden.
The Sustainable Food Project Garden was started in 2012 with the original plans of turning an unused road into a class-based garden. Now the garden has practically doubled in size and works in conjunction with the Cougar Pantry to provide produce to students in need, addressing food justice and food scarcity, which is a prevalent problem in college campuses.
So one of the things that it really focuses on is on organic farming. So how is organic farming different from industrial farming, and how does that tie in with climate justice?
Well, there's a couple of things in that. There's organic farming is simply using or not using, I should say, industrial chemicals. It's a style of farming that particularly uses open pollinated seeds. It doesn't use pesticides, doesn't use herbicides. It doesn't use genetically modified seeds, in that sort of realm. So that's kind of what organic farming is. And that oftentimes kind of gets mixed up with sustainable farming. Sustainable farming is more of a full approach that looks at more than just the actual practices, or I should say, what you don't do, but more about kind of what you do in terms of the farming practices that are used.
And how would you say organic farming addresses food justice?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that organic farming does, and particularly because when we think about farming or we talk about gardening, typically what we're concerned about is the end product, right? Where we're thinking about yields and how much a garden or farm can produce, right? And the idea is that the more food we can produce, the more bodies we can get that into, and that's great. But another aspect that organic farming does is, because it doesn't use pesticides, herbicides, is that when we're talking about food justice, really what we're talking about is food justice along the entire food chain. And that's from the seeds we plant to the food we eat. And that includes the farm workers, that includes transportation, that includes the processes of production, distribution, all those little pieces that are involved in it. So organic agriculture, one way at least that it does that, that it addresses that, is that it doesn't necessarily expose farm workers to conditions of pesticides or herbicides. We know that as more and more research kind of comes out, that that pesticides and herbicides have dramatic effects, not just on the environment in terms of what they can do in terms of insects and pollinators, but also the human populations that work there, and that they can cause long-term health effects from respiratories to cardiovascular issues. So it does a lot of different, organic farming can do a lot of different things involved in that.
And would you say that you tried to install these organic farming practices on the Sustainable Food Project garden on campus?
Yeah, the Sustainable Food Project is 100% organic. We use only open pollinated seeds and starts that we purchase. We try to purchase our own, or we try to grow our own starts, starter plants, in the hoop house. The biggest challenge of organic farming and sustainable farming is that it's a lot more labor intensive because you don't have the ability to use herbicides to suppress weeds. It requires a lot of students to get on their knees and kind of start picking down at weeds, which is a fun part of it, I think.
Getting dirty.
Yeah, but but it does require more labor, typically. But I mean, the scale that we're farming to, we don't really use heavy equipment anyway, aside from a tiller on occasion. But most of the labor that we do is manual anyway.
So would you say that the goal of the Sustainable Food Project Garden then is food sovereignty?
To an extent, I would say what the goal of the food, the Sustainable Food Project is to replicate a food system.
Mm-hmm.
So any food system, you think about it from the moment of the seed going in the ground, right? The very beginning part, or actually before the seed goes in the ground, which is thinking about soil health, right? That's like the foundation of everything. Without healthy soil, you don't have all the benefits that can come with farming. Beyond just the food. So we're trying to replicate the production of healthy soils, producing nutritional food, and then reducing the food miles, so to speak. Oftentimes our food travels incredible distances to get to us in the industrial model. So what we're trying to do is reduce that food miles and reduce the steps in the food chain to go from farm to pantry and then to students. So our food literally travels about a half a mile from the farm, from the garden, I should say, to the food pantry and to students. And it does, at least my awareness, that could be a little bit different, is a lot of the food that's purchased, or I should say taken there, it goes to students in the in the dorms or living near campus. So then again, it also isn't traveling too far from where it's grown. So really what we're trying to do is improve food security, encourage a level of food sovereignty, of course, but also really trying to replicate a food system so that we can understand how these systems and processes work as you magnify that to a larger scale.
Which is ultimately what food justice is all about. Food justice is communities exercising their right to grow, sell, and eat healthy food. And so the Sustainable Food Project Garden really encapsulates that with all the work that they're doing, not only in the garden, but in conjunction with the Cougar Pantry. How would you say that food justice addresses climate justice or climate issues?
Well, I think the number one way that food justice does this is through the, there's a lot of ways. But the one that comes to mind for me most importantly is the style that we do in our farm, at least, is we embody, or we attempt to practice what's referred to as agroecology, which is really the marriage of agriculture using ecological principles of kind of mimicking natural processes. So what that means in our garden is that as we build soil health, we're helping the biodiversity in the soil. We're encouraging plants to flourish, that draw pollinators in. We're encouraging the retention of water. One of the biggest issues that industrial farmers have is erosion. A lot of that has to do with the deep tilling that they do and the herbicides and pesticides that get put on there. But we know, as we build organic matter through the practices of agroecology, we can retain water better, and we can absorb water. And in Southern California, that becomes really important, especially for climate change. As we go through spells of incredibly dry, hot periods, and then all of a sudden we get hit with water or with a rainstorm that would cause erosion. But because of our soil health, because we encourage the development of organic matter, our soil can absorb that water and retain it for longer periods of time. So that's, I think, climate-wise, I think that's what food justice can do when it's practiced in a certain way. And also, really, what at the end of the day, the distribution of it, we know that the changing climate change is increasing the cost of food, in part because of the industrial model is centered on fossil fuels, and as fossil fuels go up, so do the prices of food. So, growing food that alleviates those issues of food insecurity is a huge benefit. And to do that while also sequestering carbon, improving water filtration, encouraging biodiversity, both from pollinators, but also in the soil, are all aspects and benefits that farming through an agroecology model can do.
Now, would you say, with food justice and climate justice reaching the points that it is at, would you argue that it's extending beyond a scientific issue into like a social justice issue now?
Yeah, I think one of the benefits with what we do in the garden is that in the past, agroecology has typically, unfortunately, been used as a science, as a technological solution. So oftentimes, I mean, there's dozens of cases that people have looked at, say, crop rotation, or they've looked at hedgerows, or some of these other issues that are central, or I should say practices that are central to farming in this form. But when we begin to look at the intersection between climate change, food justice, what we realize is that when you farm a particular way, you're not just the practices is part of it, and that's an important part, but you're also in effect part of a social movement, that the politics of what is happening are evident. Of course, policy needs to be a part of it. That's a key part of the discussion that is still in some ways lacking. But it's also about empowering people to farm in ways and garden in ways that force change with inside the food system.
Amazing. It sounds like amazing work. In what ways would you hope or like to see the garden grow in the future, or any big dreams for the garden?
Well, the garden has been an ever-changing an ever-changing process. As you mentioned early on, we have about doubled its original size, at least doubled its original size. And currently right now we have expanded quite a bit. And we are attempting to prepare that soil to grow food. It's a long process to build organic matter to grow food. So the long term, what I would love to see is that the new area, which is all in all, once it's all done, we'll be growing on about 1/4 acre of land, a little bit shorter than that. But what I would like to see is for us to continue to produce food for the food pantry, so that we can help alleviate. Also, as you mentioned, CSU students. We know that that CSU students have, there's a high number of food insecure students. That's CSU wide, but also here on our campus. So to produce food for the food pantry, but then also try to work towards a what we've been taught referring to as a rather than a community supported agriculture CSA, a cougar supported CSA. So thinking about ways that we could actually sell the food to students in a food justice approach, where it would kind of be pay what you can. So some people might be able to give $1, some people maybe go $5 or $20 or whatever. And that money can be used or applied towards resources, equipment, seedlings, seeds, all the things that can help sustain the farm or the garden over the long term. That's kind of, I think, the end goal, I think.
Amazing. Increasing accessibility and affordability for the people on campus. I think that's a key issue in food justice, food issues.
A lot of students that are ENVS majors do have classes in the garden. But for any students that are listening, what are some courses that are available for them that they can experience this as well?
There are three courses that happen in the garden. There's a geography class, geography, I want to say 460, I believe, taught by Professor Greg Guthy. That is an emerging market course that really that explores sustainable farming as an emerging market, and all the it really explores the food system in detail, while also farming. And then I teach two separate courses, alternating semesters. One on food politics and the environment, really looking at agroecology as a science, as a practice, and as a social movement. And then I teach another course, Environmental Studies 361, called Diet and Planet. And that class is really about understanding how we eat and what we eat, how that then impacts the environment, or it encourages levels of climate change or actions against climate change.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. It was great talking to you, and thank you for all your work in the garden and within this community.
Wow. Thank you, Myra Ramos, Darby Sword, and Professor Gabriel Valle for that interesting and valuable information. Want to hear more from Climate to Action? Listen wherever you get your podcast and follow us on our socials at Climate to Action on Instagram and X. That's Climate to Action. Visit for updates and behind-the-scenes content and more. Finally, Climate Action wants to remind you to take action. This week, we want to encourage you to email us if you're interested in joining our podcast team, or, like Myra and Darby, if you'd like to produce an episode for a class project. Our email address is climate2action@csusm.edu. Until next time, this is Climate to Action, a CSUSM student podcast, signing off.